Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Jeremiah, and we'll read from chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. And this is what we find recorded there. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so our journey into Advent this week begins with the theme, exciting hope. Exciting hope. I must have been about 9 or 10 years old. My brother and I only had one bicycle between us, and for all practical purposes, it was a hoopty bicycle. It was busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted, at least to ride anywhere. And add to that the fact that we had outgrown it. The idea of a new bicycle floated in the back of my mind, but it was there only as a hope. The hope was especially far away when the other kids were riding their bikes in the neighborhood, and all we could do was to ask them to let us ride their bicycle. We'd been looking at bikes and catalogs from all the old catalog stores, Montgomery Ward and Sears and Western Auto, you name it, if there was a catalog, we were looking through it for a new bike. And we'd always pick out our favorite ones and say, "That's the one I'm going to get." Knowing good and well that that was nothing more than a distant dream. But it seemed that those were just pipe dreams. And I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but one day it was decided that we would get new bicycles. We were given a Schwinn bike catalog, and my brother and had picked out one called a Schwinn Phantom, and I picked out one called a Schwinn Jaguar. And the promise our parents made was that we were going to get brand new bicycles. There was neither a greater nor more exciting hope than to know that the bicycles we had hoped for so badly were coming. And each of us would have one of our very own. No more sharing. All we had to do was wait. Wait for the faithfulness of our parents to make our hope a reality. And just as the hope of new bicycles that my parents promised excited my brother and me, the nations of Israel and Judah were excited by the hope in their God's promise from many years ago. And it's that same hope which excites us today. God's faithfulness to do what God promised to the house of Israel and Judah. These words of Jeremiah were spoken to those who knew of God's promises of old, were in fact waiting for a word from God that would confirm in their hearts that their God was indeed faithful. In these words of scripture, the prophet Jeremiah states that the house of David will be included in the restoration, and that the Davidic kingship will be restored as well. The reference to the true vine, the branch of David's line, is directly connected to the words from the prophet Isaiah in the 11th chapter at verses 1 through 6. Which portrays the righteous Davidic king as a branch from the root of Jesse, in which David was promised an eternal dynasty, that's in 2 Samuel in the 7th chapter, and an eternal covenant, That's also in 2 Samuel in chapter 23. It should also be stated that not everyone was excited about the promise of a coming Messiah who would rule forever. It would mean an unwelcome end to power and status among some of the priests. But for those who welcomed the idea of a Messiah to come, for someone to come and execute justice and righteousness in the land, to finally liberate those who were oppressed and taken advantage of, the idea of a Messiah who would set things right was something to get excited about. The idea of someone who was coming that would be fair in their judgments was exciting enough. But to know that their time of waiting was finally going to be over was definitely something for them to be both hopeful and excited about. And we can't lose sight of what it is that gives people a hope with the power to excite them. We can't simply look to the past and acknowledge the reasons those people were excited without giving it a context for today, without making a connection between the former excitement and the excitement we experience today. The hope which excites us all is God's faithfulness. When this scripture was written, their hope was for God to fulfill the promises that God had made to those of Israel and Judah. Our contemporary culture has changed things somewhat, though. Today, I must say that our culture's hopes seem more likely to be excited about the promise of bargains on Black Friday, as well as the other sales of the season. People's hopes are excited more by the online bargains that we're likely to grab while trying to be faithful to our promise to buy gifts for our loved ones. But if we can dare to put aside our present day distractions, the focus of our excitement can once again be drawn to the one hope that excites us in this season leading up to Christmas, the faithfulness of our God to deliver on God's promises. The excitement of our hope is grounded in God's faithfulness to keep the promises that God made to us, because the one who is the root of Jesse's tree has come and has also given us a promise. Our hope is excited because we know that even today, many years after God made the promise and later made good on the promise, that God is still faithful. And it's faithfulness that excites us. Knowing that someone is faithful keeps hope alive while trusting and believing in their faithfulness. There's a story told by a gentleman named Eric C. Weiler, and he told the story of two men who grew up as best friends. One's name was Jim, and the other's name was Philip. And while Jim was a little older than Philip, Jim often assumed the role of the leader. They even went to high school and college together. And after college, they decided to join the Marines. And by a unique series of circumstances, they were actually sent to Germany together, where they fought side by side in one of history's ugliest wars. And then one day during a fierce battle, amid heavy gunfire, bombing, and close quarters combat, they were given the command to retreat. And as the men were running back, Jim noticed that Philip had not returned with the others. And panic gripped him. He felt in his heart that something was wrong. And Jim knew that if Philip was not back in another minute or two, then he probably wouldn't make it. Jim begged his commanding officer to let him go after his friend. But the officer said, absolutely not. The request to go back at this point would simply be suicide. But risking his own life, Jim disobeyed, and he went back after his friend, Philip. And with his heart pounding, he ran into the gunfire and called out for his friend, Philip. And a short time later, his platoon saw him hobbling across the field, carrying a limp body in his arms. And Jim's commanding officer read him the riot act, upbraided him, shouted at him that it was a foolish waste of time and an outrageous risk. He said, "Your friend is dead." And he added, "And there was nothing you could do." And he said, Jim said, "No, sir, you're wrong. I got there just in time." He said, before he died, his last words were, "I knew you would come." And those are the words that inspire and evoke our excitement about God's faithfulness. We trust, believe, and know that God will come. God will be faithful to our hopes. God will be faithful to God's promises. God will be faithful to God's word, and it will not return void. And that's what excites hope inside of us, is knowing that God is faithful. And it's not just God's faithfulness that makes our hope an exciting hope, because it's hard to get excited about promises that are wrapped in secrecy. It may even be harder to get excited about promises that people make, knowing that people sometimes fail to keep their promises. But the promises of God evoke another response. The promises of God invite us to look into and capture the picture of the future, because God's faithfulness in the past gives us hope for tomorrow. The problem is we sometimes get caught up in our own little world and treat God's promises with the same hope that is sometimes seen on television game shows. If you've seen the television game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, then you're pretty familiar with the process and how the game works out. Every contestant has an opportunity to answer the questions, but each contestant can use, let's say, an option if they don't know the answer to the question. So there are three options. One is a 50-50 option. The other is a phone a friend option. And the other is ask the audience option. And those options actually symbolize the way many people think about God's promises and ultimately the extent of their hope. If they say 50-50, then some people hope God's promises are true and are willing to take a 50-50 chance that they are right, but they're a little bit nervous about their hope as they are as excited about it. When they use the phone a friend option, some people hope their friends have more knowledge about it than they do, and ultimately depend on their friends to give them hope. And when they use the ask the audience option, it's when others accept the majority view and are willing to cast their hopes on whatever the majority says. If 60% of the country has lost hope in God's faithfulness, they too are hopeless about God's faithfulness. And it's too often that our dependence on what others have to say leads us to places of faithlessness, where our faithfulness turns into fear, our assurance turns into uncertainty, and our confidence soon turns into doubt and mistrust, of anxiety and pessimism, rather than being able to live with the exciting hope. But God's faithfulness is proven. God has a reputation and a track record of coming through. And it is because of God's faithfulness and the certainty of God's promises that we can live with exciting hope. We can live excited and hopeful that God will not fail us now. We can live with the exciting hope that just as God has been faithful in the past, God's faithfulness will reach through the annals of time, and God will be faithful in this day and age, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can live with the exciting hope that not only has God fulfilled those promises of the past, but that God will fulfill the promises of the future. It's why we continue to celebrate the coming of Christmas with the same hope of those who first heard the promises of God. It's why we continue to celebrate the coming of Christmas with the reality of God's promises present with us. God's faithfulness is why we continue to live with the exciting hope that the promised coming of the Messiah didn't end with the first Christmas, but continues to remind us of our present hope as we wait with the exciting hope for the fulfillment of God's promise that Christ is coming again, just as God has promised.